I've titled this message, When Christ Came. When Christ Came. I'm not going to hold you long. Father, we pray over this body of believers. We thank you, O God, that the faith you have entrusted to us, Lord, you birthed faith in us when you revealed yourself to us. And now we believe and we know of a surety that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And indeed, you are returning again to gather unto yourself that which you've purchased through your own blood. And we say, have your way, O God, in the temporal spheres of this life, Lord, through so much that we get caught up in. O God, have your way and be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I don't know how I got to praying again, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 1, no slides today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. We're not going anywhere, a few verses. And then we will, amen, carry on. The subtitle I titled, God at Work Bringing Forth His Son. We see in the book of Matthew, I had to ask myself, why is Matthew 1:1 here? It reads this way, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why is this here? It's here because God wanted us to know that Jesus Christ was a man with a genealogy, just like any man on the face of the earth, woman or child, has a genealogy. They came from somebody. They came from somewhere. And God wanted us to know, and here the facts show, that Jesus was indeed human. He was the son, as it's used here, a descendant of David. That word son means he's a descendant of David, the descendant of Abraham. In order to be the Messiah, one would have to have descended from David and Abraham. Amen. According to 2 Samuel, I believe it is chapter 7, where David stood before the Lord, and the Lord told him that you did good in that it was in your heart to build me a house. However, you will not build me a house, but your son is going to build me a house. And that's where the messianic promise was given to David, that there would never fail to be a man to sit upon the throne of David forever. God made that promise to David, but it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ because all of David's sons broke the covenant of God. So it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the son of David. That's why Matthew is mentioning here in Matthew 1:1, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. But when we consider this, when you consider that, we see that God has been bringing forth his son for a very, very, very long time. If Jesus was in fact human, then that means his ultimate father would have to be who? But Adam. Because from Adam, all life sprang. Adam and Eve, all life sprang under them. And that genealogy we see in the book of Luke. We're not going to turn there, but that genealogy is in the book of Luke, where it goes all the way from Joseph all the way back to, well, not everyone's mentioned there, but it goes back to Adam, right? So God would have us to know that his son is very, very much indeed human. It also would mean that God would have had to have planned this from the very beginning. Amen. But he did say, I am the beginning and I am the end. There's nothing before me. There's nothing after me. All that there is me. That's what God said. Amen. That's what I'm saying. All of this is about him. It's about him. We're going to see in the end that it's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about the living creatures, not about the 24. It's all about him. It's not about the angels. It's all about him. All of this. Amen. Without him was there not anything made that is made. John 1:4 tells us. And so we read in verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac. We could also say there that God gave Isaac to Abraham because everyone who's begotten God has given. Right? In verse 7, David the king begot Solomon. And so it was very important that the Jews would be able to show that Jesus Christ came from the seed of David, from the seed of Abraham. And to this day, they would say that. But what what they wouldn't say and what they did not expect about their Messiah was this, that he would be the very Son of God. They did not expect it, so much so that when he claimed to be the Son of God, they were ready to push him off a cliff and stone him to death. They're ready to kill him. They said, oh, no, no, you may be a son of David. You may be a son of Abraham, but don't you dare for one moment claim to be the Son of God, because that would make you equal with God. So it's interesting how when you walk with God, you begin to understand, oh, you know something about what God is doing, but you know nothing of all of what he's doing. Even people who call themselves prophets. Oh, you a prophet? Well, you know a little bit. That's all you know? You know a little bit? I remember we had, me and Gabriel, we were sitting down, you know, he was in my youth group. Me and Gabriel were sitting down talking, and we had the prophets coming, the elders. They were coming to minister to the people of the church. Gabriel was all up in his feelings. He said, he comes to me, Pastor Pat. I'm like, yeah, Gabriel, what's the problem? He said, I got a question. I'm like, okay. Let me have it. I like questions. He like, well, when the prophets come, are they going to tell everything that we, are they going to see everything we done? I said, Gabriel, be at ease, brother. Let me tell you something. The prophet can only see what God shows him. The prophet can't see everything. Look, if the prophet saw everything, then he know he is standing in need of prayer. So no, don't worry about it. And he said, whoo, good. I was like, and I wasn't even going in it, because of where he is, there I am. Glory to God. I said, so it's okay. It's okay. God ain't gonna out you. You know, he's not mean. He's good. He's good, right? So the prophet can't see everything. So God, before the foundation of the world, planned this in his extreme kindness, in his extreme goodness, which has no boundary and cannot be explained. This God, he planned before the foundation of the world, the birth of his Son into humanity. The second person of the Godhead, who shares the essence of God himself, planned that he would come, step down into temporal human time, the Lord Jesus, that we might live forevermore. And this is what we celebrate every year. Well, some people celebrate it every year. Some of us celebrate it every day. You know, we get a bit of more, say thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I'm standing in awe of you today, another day that you've given. It's the reason why we sing the way we do. It's the reason why we lift up our voices, because God, in his extreme kindness, who was not obligated to send anyone, who was not obligated to provide redemption, who was not obligated to do anything for Adam, he told him what would happen. The day that you eat from that tree, you will surely die. He did not tell him about any redemption. He did not tell him, but I got a plan. I'm going to redeem you from your sin. God didn't say any of that. He was not obligated to any of it. The only thing he was obligated to is exactly what happened. That day they died. They died. And all of their progeny, all of those who came out of them died. But before God created them, before God said, let us make man in our image, Genesis 1:26, God had apparently said, because what God says always precedes what he does. Apparently God had said, but let's provide redemption for them when they fall, because they're going to fall. But God created us anyway, because he wanted people to know how good he is. He wanted people to know of his plan of redemption and his plan of salvation. Some people say, how could a God make people that he know would fall? Oh, are you telling me you rather not exist? Oh, no. Give me existence at all. I want to exist. We've benefited from his goodness. Even before we knew Christ, we were benefiting from his goodness, but we didn't know it. Right? And so we did not glorify him as God. Romans chapter 1. That even though God revealed himself, they did not glorify him as God, but glorified the creature rather than the creator. That's what Romans 1 tells us. So he created us for his goodness. The Gospel of John chapter 1 says it this way. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. I said to myself, get out of here. Are you serious? He was in the world. The world was made through him. Whoever been in a car and don't know who made the car? Whoever been driving down the road and enjoying this nice automobile and you don't know who made it? And we call ourselves smart. Well, he created all this. He comes to the world. He came to his own and his own rejected him. Man had no clue who God was. And man outside of Christ has no clue who God is. Even the astronomers, the astrophysicists, I love them explaining everything, but they don't know who God is. They're looking at it. They're literally looking at it. We don't understand this universe. It goes on and on. And read Romans 1. He revealed himself in the things that he made. How vast is God? When you hear them explain space, it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. I'm talking the small things will blow your mind. Like a million Earths could fit into the sun. That little sun that you see. They said over a million Earths could fit in. How big is the sun? It is big. It is ginormous. But it's tiny compared to the biggest stuff. And you're looking at that and you're going, God. How? You are awesome. You are. I can't get my mind. Yeah, that's me. That's me. That's why John turned around. I read Revelation chapter 1. Can't get away from it. I read that this morning. John turned around to see the voice that was speaking to him. It sounded like a trumpet. When he turned around, what he saw, he fell at his feet as a dead man. All the strength left his body. He fell out. Some people don't believe in being slain in the spirit. Wait till you see Jesus. John. Who was fire baptized, talking in tongues, know the Bible, all that. Okay. He fell out. He fell out when he saw him. Boy, there's no one like him. Says he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born, that we were born just the way Christ was born. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. The way Jesus was born is the exact way we are born. And if you are not born in the kingdom, you are not in the kingdom. Hello? Jesus said a man must be born again. John 3:3. And unless you are birthed into the kingdom, you're not in the kingdom. Huh? So, the birth of Jesus Christ was necessarily then different from every other person who had ever been born. We come to it in Matthew chapter 1. We'll jump down to verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. You know it's going to be different when they say that because, hello, how many people talk about a birth? Well, we know how a birth is. A birth is a birth is a birth is a birth. Ain't nothing too different about it. Oh, yes, there is. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Every birth starts with the father and mother of the child that is to be born. Amen? Every birth but this one. Every birth but this one. You see, his birth starts with God, the Holy Spirit, in conception. Right? It says, after his mother was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together sexually, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Some people say that he got his body from Mary, but his spirit from God. I don't know where they get that from, but last time I checked, the Y and the X, they come together and they produce a child. Amen. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ was born a human being, and that said, he was a special human being from day one, right? Because he got his body and his spirit from God, the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting is that when God chooses you to bring forth his son in you, he doesn't ask, you know, he doesn't come ask you, hey. Now, we ask people like, do you want to pray the sinner's prayer to become a Christian? And we think we deep. Well, look, that person can't become a Christian unless God births Christ in them. That's why you can stand up till you're blue in the face and do the sinner's prayer. Folk won't get saved. I remember praying the sinner's prayer. I prayed the sinner's prayer at an Ernest Angley. You remember? Say, babe. You remember Ernest Angley? I prayed the sinner's prayer at Ernest Angley. I prayed the sinner's prayer at Richard Roberts. Nothing happened. I prayed the sinner's prayer. My mother was taking us to every evangelist. Lord, I'm praying for my children to get saved. Save my children. That's my mother. I didn't have no clue. But my mother was praying. But on September 4th, 1983 at 4 p.m., standing in a field in Oxon Hill, Maryland, R.W. Sandbox said, y'all, you want to know God? Come down here. Now, when I went down there and prayed the sinner's prayer, well, I was made brand new that time. So, woo! Everything changed that day. Like, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget where I was, everything that happened. So, God doesn't ask questions. He tells you what is about to happen. He tells people. Like, that's what happened here with Mary. And I love it because you say, why is it that way? Well, agreement starts with revelation. You know? Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter announced his agreement with the revelation because Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. When the revelation of God comes to us who Jesus is, then we are born again. It starts in heaven. It does not start here. Why? Because a dead man can't perceive anything. Hello? A dead man doesn't perceive anything going around here. But when God wakes you from the dead, when God reveals himself to you, then you say, oh, I'm born again. You say, where is that in the book? It's all over the book. Acts chapter 9. Paul, Saul, who became Paul, is on his horse going up to Damascus. I'm going to find me some Christians. I'm going to throw them in jail. If I can't throw them, I'm going to kill them. That's what I'm going to do. God knocks him off his horse. Bam! Knocks him off his horse. He sees Jesus. He says, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Amen. Revelation precedes salvation. God, in other words, revealed himself to Paul, who was going to kill Christians. Saul said, oh, no, I ain't doing that no more. I'm going to serve. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? He said, go into the city. I'll tell you what you're going to do. And so it happened with Peter. It happened with the disciples. It happened with Paul. Happens with others. Happens with us. That the revelation of who he is so emphatic that we agree. This is how Christ is born in us. We see it in the life of Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, you remember Mary sitting there by herself. The angel of the Lord comes in and says, rejoice, highly favored one. Mary says, huh? Who are you? And what are you doing here talking to me? And the angel said to her in Luke 1:30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Notice Gabriel didn't ask her, would you like to have Jesus birthed in you? No, Gabriel didn't ask her that question. Gabriel said, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Let me tell you what God is about to do. So the revelation comes, and then what does Mary say? Be it unto me, according to your word, the maidservant of the Lord. Be it unto me. Now, we did have one instance where someone disagreed, where someone didn't believe the divine revelation. We're not going there today, I'll mention it, but Zechariah had been praying for a son. Him and his wife Elizabeth were old. But everyone knew in Israel about Abraham and Sarah. Everyone had heard that she was barren. Everyone knew that Abraham was old. He was beyond the years of having children. And how every Jew knew the miracle that God wrought with Abraham and Sarah. They would have known about Isaac and Rebekah. They would have known the miracles that God did with Leah and Rachel, their wombs being closed. And God, supernaturally, he opens their wombs. Right? So Zachariah's praying for a son. Gabriel shows up in the temple. And says, your prayer has been heard, Zachariah. You should have a son. And so here comes the revelation. The revelation is God's going to give you a son. And he says, how shall I know that this is going to happen to me? Gabriel says, well, seeing that you didn't believe what I just told you, this is how you're going to know. You're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to say a word till it comes to pass because you didn't believe what God said to you through his angel. And he was smitten dumb. He couldn't say a word. God put a stop to the unbelief. So that's what happened. Judgment was pronounced upon him. Temporary, a temporal judgment was pronounced on him by the angel Gabriel. So the same angel shows up to Mary and tells her, you're going to have a child. She says, she questions him just like Zachariah did. But hers was not a question of unbelief. Hers was a question of how is this going to happen, seeing it has never been done before. What Zachariah was asking, that's been done before. God's been doing that for years. What are you talking about? Hello, you've been praying. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm here to answer your prayer. Mary wasn't praying to have a son before she actually had a husband. No. So the angel shows up to her and tells her this is how it's going to be. Now, what I love about God is that God's timing is always perfect. You believe that? I'm down there talking to my wife. She's telling me, she says, well, you know, honey, I know God knows everything. And this, everything's perfect about him. But I just have some questions. I'm like, go ahead, honey. Work through it. God knows that we're simply dust. We don't know anything. We know we're peeping through a keyhole. Can you see everything through a keyhole? No. You see just right what's in front of you. But there's all of this going on around you. See? And so Mary asks, well, how's this going to happen to me? Now, what I love... And to do this throughout all of human history is what gets me about God. Watch this. Notice what in verse 18. It says this. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. See, the after and the before. That little time frame right there. That's where God said, I'm going to work right there. After she's betrothed. Now, in Jewish culture, when a person is married, they're betrothed or they're promised to, like Melody would be promised to Darian. But Darian didn't have access to Melody. She's still living in the house of her mother. See? But they're promised to one another. And it's a legally binding contract as if they were married according to our customs. Right? Well, so Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but after she was betrothed, but before they came together, God got in there and said, hey, yeah, right here is where I'm going to work. She was promised, but not yet given to her spouse. This is where God comes into a person's life and turns it upside down and inside out. Because God said, even though you betrothed, I'm going to use you to bring forth my son. And to that, her question was, how is this going to happen? So after what was appropriate, the betrothal, and before the flesh had a chance to mess anything up, God brought about his work in their lives to bring forth his son, namely conception. What did he work after she was betrothed, but before they came together? She caused her to conceive. How did he do it? Said the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be birthed in you shall be called the Son of God. The God who spoke over Mary to produce in her Christ is the same God who speaks over you to produce Christ in you. And the same thing that God did in Mary is what he's doing in us. The Holy Spirit has caused us to be born again by the seed of God, by the word of God, the seed of God in us. And we were born again, just like Christ was born of the seed of Mary. So what happened to Mary is true of every believer. Only God, the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, can bring forth Jesus in you. Only God can do that. That's why there's some people running around saying they're Christian. They're not a Christian. They see what Christians do. They've seen what some disobedient Christians have done, and they've called themselves a Christian. But they wouldn't know Christ if he walked up to them. They don't love his people. They don't love his church. They just use the name for whatever purpose they intend to fulfill. The fact of the matter is, as we see in verse 18, the scripture says, before they came together, she was found. She was found. There's no way to hide when Jesus is in your life. If Jesus is in your life, somebody gonna find out, just like Mary couldn't hide it any longer because something begins to show. I remember Tim sitting here a few weeks ago. He had looked at Melody. I seen him trying to work it out. I was just here minding my business. He was over there. And he was going. And I knew. I said, the wheels are turning. Every boy. And then he said, he come out with it. He said, oh, and he knew he was treading on thin ice because he knew. He was. I seen him trying to put it together. And finally, he couldn't take it any longer. He said, hey, sis, are you pregnant? She's like, well, yes, I am. He's like, whoa. And then I told him, then I said to him, now, Tim, you know you weren't supposed to ask a woman that. You know you. He said, I know, brother, but you know. I'm like, brother, you're supposed to find some other way to get that out. But we had fun with that. It was fun. We had a tickle, a good tickle. But there's no way to hide the fact that Christ is in you. This is that there's no way for Melody to hide the fact that she's pregnant. And joyfully so. Amen. You will be found out. You will be found out. And so in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph sees this now. Yeah, I don't know how he saw it, but he saw it, be it her stomach or what have you. And he thought to himself, you know, if I make her examples, they could stone her to death. They could kill her. So I'm just going to quietly just disassociate myself with her and let her go her merry way. No pun intended, her merry way. When people see the evidence of Christ in you, it tends to make them uncomfortable. Joseph was uncomfortable with what he saw going on in Mary. And when people see Christ in you, it's going to make them uncomfortable too. Just be aware of that. Why? Because they don't understand what God is doing. They don't understand what God is doing. Some people won't even reckon it to be the work of God. Just like Joseph here, he doesn't know what's going on. For all he knows, she done slept with another man. She done something unlawful. She done something to get her killed. But no, this was God at work. This was God at work. And because of that, God, who put Christ in you, is the only one that can make it all right with the people who are questioning the condition you find yourself in, right? So how did God do it? Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel appeared to him in a dream. Back to Revelation. Comes back to Revelation, right? God had to reveal to him what he was doing, what was going on with Mary. In verse 20, the angel appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so God had to give him revelation to prepare him for that which he's about to go through. I was just talking to Bo last night, and he told me, he said, Pastor, I don't have dreams. I'm not a dreamer. But before we moved to Spain, I had a dream that we were going to have a problem with a man in this church. And that's why he was calling me. He said, this man is all over me. This man don't like me. He hates me. I don't know what to do. And he was calling me. I said, well, did God reveal it to you in the dream? He said, yeah. I said, well, then God saw it before. God knew it was going to come. It's going to be all right. Let's pray. That's what we did. Happened to Paul when he went to speak at Corinth. He said, there's a great and effectual door open to me, but there are many adversaries and many people who oppose me. Amen. Wherever God is working, the enemy is going to be at work, trying to overcome or oppose that which God is doing. Right? So, yeah, God gives dreams. The revelation then comes to prepare you for what you're about to go through. All my life I've had dreams. Amen. Showing. So now we get down to verse where he said, yeah, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her, the Holy Spirit took claim over what he was doing is of the Holy Spirit. God showed Joseph that what he was doing was his work. And so then after revelation comes agreement, and Joseph then agrees. What I love is verse 22. So all this was done. All what was done? All this about Mary conceiving of the Holy Spirit. Now she's pregnant with this child, and yet she's married, promised to a man. And the scripture says all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord. In other words, what was done was first spoken. Hello? What was done was first spoken. Now, I know there's some people who, you know, I remember earlier this year was my best example thus far was when Aaron Rodgers, he's with the Jets now, and they were interviewing him, and he said, I like to speak things into existence. We were watching before. You remember that? We were watching TV before we come to church. And I was busy reading some mind of my business. When he said that, I kind of looked up at the TV. And I was like, yeah, there's only one problem with that. There's only one person who speaks things into existence. Now, if you do it, it's because he said it first. Okay? But there's only one person who does that. God, it says right here, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord. In other words, the Lord said it first, then he did it. I don't know anybody who can do that on a consistent basis. Huh? They were talking to him about the Super Bowl. The one was interviewing him. He's like, yeah, I like to speak things to existence. The only problem was he didn't tell that to that lineman that they were playing. When that lineman burst through that line and grabbed him and fell on his leg, he didn't tell that to the lineman. Hey, we're supposed to win the Super Bowl. You can't blow out my Achilles. I was like, yeah, see, try that on for size. See, we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. Do you know who he is? Man, he is great beyond comprehension. He is great beyond one's ability to conceive him. And so he goes down. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. What prophet? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So everything that happened in the lives of Joseph and Mary regarding the birth of Jesus was done because God said it would be done. What God says precedes what he does. Genesis 1:26. And let us make man in our image. So he created man in his image. God said, let there be light. And what happened? Light was. All right. So God speaks oftentimes before he does. And so this prophecy was given to Ahaz hundreds of years before this, before Matthew's account. It was given to Ahaz regarding the enemies. Israel, Syria had band together. They were going to attack Judah. And Ahaz was scared to death. Prophet comes to him and says, hey, I'm going to give you a sign. Ahaz didn't trust God. He didn't believe God. He's a wicked king. But the prophet gave him a sign anyhow. He says, I'm going to give you a sign that I'm going to deliver Judah from all of his enemies. And the prophet said, a certain girl is going to bring forth a child. And before the child is even can discern between good and evil, I'm going to deliver Judah from his enemies. Now, that prophecy had application to his day when God had given it to Ahaz. But then Matthew reads it, whom Jesus breathed upon and opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. When Matthew read it, he said, that's talking about the Messiah. And he applied it to the Messiah. God, no one knew that. No one knew that. But it came by revelation to Matthew. Not even Isaiah knew it. Isaiah, who prophesied it, he was prophesying about an event in the future. But he didn't know he was prophesying about two events in the future. You see why I say prophets don't know it all? He's going to say people walking on to the presence of the prophet. So? Okay. Prophet? Don't make any difference. I'm here for Jesus. I'm here for Jesus. Right? So, God says, he speaks before he says, Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. This is the Lord speaking. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is God says, I tell you about things before they even happen. Right. Isaiah 42:9. I'm sorry. I'm tickled because the people out there calling themselves prophets. They prophesy about the election. They prophesy about all kinds of things. They prophesy about a football game as if a prophecy about a football game is hard. This team going to win. Well, you 50% there. I mean, you 50% right. You ought to be good. Hey, what this person going to win the election? There again. Your life is shut up. Shut up. Come on. Don't presume to speak with God when God is speaking. Isaiah 48:5. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you. This is God speaking. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you. Lest you should say, my idol has done them. And my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. And so God would oftentimes tell them what he was going to do before he did it. So that when he did it, they would know that it was him. So God has never spoken about anyone like he did his son Jesus. Never. No one like he did his son. Why is that? The reason for it is that all that God has spoken about him will come to pass for the good of the whole world. God's been talking about his son Jesus from Genesis chapter 1. From Genesis chapter 1. All the way through the Old Testament. All the Old Testament is about one person. It's about one person. All the New Testament is about one person. The whole book is about Jesus. The whole book is about Jesus. And he's constantly glorifying his Father who's in heaven. So, as I said before, the prophecy had immediate application to King Ahaz, to whom it was given, but it also had great significance to Matthew, who applied it to Christ our Messiah. This is what we call dual prophetic fulfillment, and we see it from time to time in the scriptures. Verse 24, Matthew 1, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep. Again, we said revelation precedes agreement, right? So Joseph gets the revelation in the dream. What does he do but wake up? And he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. You say, what would have happened if Joseph would have, you know, not taken his wife to himself? I don't believe what you just told me. It wouldn't have been good. If we go off of Zechariah, it wouldn't have been a good thing. But Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Ever had a dream wake you up? You ever had a dream? You come about that, you're like, oh. That's how Joseph come about that dream. But the revelation of God so convinced him of the truth concerning Mary that he obeyed the instructions, the commandment of the Lord given to him. Both Mary and Joseph submitted themselves to the work of God in their lives. My prayer is that we would do the same thing as God reveals himself to us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we worship you. We bless you. We do not deny you, but we acknowledge your goodness in all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to you. It is all yours, O God. And your goodness indeed fills the whole earth. All flesh has experienced the goodness of the living God. And Father, we magnify you and we thank you, O God, for this redemption, this salvation that delivers us from the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We thank you, O God, that you have chosen us, Lord, to be participants in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we pray that so many more would come to the truth concerning Jesus and know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We pray in Israel that right now that many Jews, oh God, would come to faith in Jesus. We pray that many Palestinians would come to faith in Jesus. We pray that Russians and Ukrainians, oh God, for we're all torn up. We're all sinners, oh God, in need of a Savior. And we pray, oh God, that hearts would come to you in this last hour that we find ourselves living in. Oh God, give us strength and courage, Lord, to endure till the end. Give us long suffering and patience, Lord, that we would hold fast that which you have given to us against that day. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.